Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Rogue, the Grogpod Roguelike Podcast, where it must have been one of those hacking bots that got me there. Where each episode we flip through the comic book pages of roguelike game, riddle it with ratings bullets, and if it can grind its way to the end of the year, we revisit it at the end of season recap tournament. I am your big blue football wielding sports cyborg host of the podcast, Scott Berger. And with me are my friendly co-host Buddy Bots.
And I have returned. You know, it's me, Andrew, phased plasma rifle in the 40 watt range, Harshman.
And it's me, Colin, a little robot just hiding in the grass to pop up and shoot you.
I'm almost, I almost thought, Colin, you were going to say you were Colin Smith and Jigba, but anyway, this week, Will is out dutifully prepping for his own games 1.0 release coming soon. Stay tuned and a half. But our schedules have also been totally wonky this part of the year because we accidentally scheduled a lot of our time off and vacation plans back to back on podcast weeks.
But all four of us managed to book four different heavy metal cruises. Yes. What a coincidence.
Next year we need to coordinate our schedule so we're all taking a vacation one at one time, okay. And then we just skip that week.
I've got it. We'll plan an entire cruise around roguelike games.
Okay?
Bear with me here. We'll get 70,000 fellow rogue fans.
Yep.
Most of them Slay the Spire heads, and we'll cram them all into a cruise ship. And then we'll record from there. We'll do a live show.
We'll set the cruise ship adrift, and we won't know where it's going to go.
The tides, the ultimate RNG.
Yes.
And something about
procedurally generated paths.
Get that MRSA permadeath going. Well, speaking of heavy metal, this week we're talking RoboQuest. Released early access August 20th, 2020, and 1.0'd November 7th, 2023. This is another almost kind of find it everywhere sort of game. Steam, Xbox, PlayStation, no Switch release yet as I am looking through. But this is developed by one Rise Up with a Y Studios from Lyon with a Y, France, whose previous game, they somehow were putting out like a crazy amount of content in 2020 between January of 2020. They have this kind of VR winter break game that I guess is just like throwing snowballs around, but like a VR tech demo. April, they have another kind of VR first game, The Burning Descent. And then in June 2020, they come out with their demo for our game we're talking about today, RoboQuest. So kind of a lot going on for them in 2020. But RoboQuest, ground pounds in from the high heights on the popularity rankings at number 72 on our Steam rankings here with 23,457 total reviews. Your average player of RoboQuest has about 39 hours of gameplay in it, which, you know, but we'll see if we get there later this year. But before then, Andrew, what is your one sentence description what one does in RoboQuest that your peppy teenage sidekick will motivate you with?
Okay, so you got that red Arnold Schwarzenegger overlay, eye overlay. I'm selecting possible different responses. So in RoboQuest, you assume the role of a Terminator 2-style friendly robot, and you run, grind, roller skate, and, of course, Mario head jump your way through a procedurally, arranged, borderline corridor shooter populated by Terminator 1 bad robots, which is filled with tons of guns and perks and items. Oh, also, cell shading.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This game, on the face of it, kind of looks, well, it looks very Borderlands, and it even has the little kind of Borderlands-y style, like, you're shooting a gun and it's going pew, pew, pew off to the side. And
right,
I thought
like the written first time, sound effects.
And I remember the first time I saw that, I'm like, oh man, like I had played this game. Gosh, maybe like right when it came out in early access, like ages ago, I thought, oh man, is that going to get super annoying? And then like 10 seconds into playing the game, like I totally forgot that those existed. Cause that, I feel like that's one of those things that in Borderlands like really annoyed me. And I feel like this game takes a lot of lessons from border. Like one of my the bullet points of the Google Doc here is like this is the lesser annoying version of Borderlands. Because there's no voice acting, there's no overly done jokiness to it. It feels very good, like design wise and scope wise. But
Yeah, I'm no friend of Borderlands either. I had a good time playing the demo at PAX one year, Borderlands 1, before we knew better. And then the actual game came out, and I think I got to like the first like non-story quest, and I was like, oh, this is I just got to go collect mushroom caps. Like, I'm not, come on, right out of the gate with this crummy mission design. But this is a game with no missions, hardly. Well, they're kind of hard, but different gameplay loop.
Yeah. And I
I
mean,
do
when
like the cel shading though. The Borderlands art style is well done in this game.
Yeah, I think this
I like the
game's
presentation.
yeah, the I think the presentation and art style in this game is really good. And again, like the first time that I was playing, I was just getting bodied all the time, and I was only really going through like the first act or first biome, and I'm like, is the whole game does the whole game just kind of look like this? Like that would be kind of lame if it did. I was glad to be wrong, which we'll get to in a minute. But even just this first level that you pop into is very much like a desert. You're running through like desert canyons, and it's like very colorful. I feel like the cell shading works well with how maybe desolate is the wrong word, but like Spartan the environment design is, at least for like kind of the first area. But
Definitely. Yeah. Now, this kind of environment in like a modern warfare mid 2000s game or late 2000s game would look not so great.
Yeah. But maybe putting the robo cart ahead of the robo horse here, the first thing that you're greeted with when you boot this game up is this like very charming and like well animated question mark comic book sequence. You know, like cel shading, it starts off with you're in the far distant future because your Volkswagen bus has anti-grav jets on where the wheels ought to be, which is a neat touch. It has this kind of very like sort of Mad Max emphasis on the max design to it. But you see this peppy like rebellious teen girl who's driving this bus out through the desert, and she just gets out of radio range. She's like, oh, finally I'm out on my own. And wouldn't you know it, just like on all those road trips that you go on out in the middle of the desert, the first thing you happen to come across is a 500-year-old robot buried in the desert.
Who wants to be your friend?
Well, yeah, I mean, the character whose name we come to realize is Max, she pulls him out of the sand, winches him out, and plugs him back in, and jam just happens to have a 500-year-old robot battery on standby to jam it in. And is looking on her fancy iPad thing. It says, Guardian, last update, 503 years, mission, colon, take humans to the city. And I'm like, okay, I got it. Then your robo character springs to life, and is like, all right, let's go get it. And that's it. Like, you are in it. Like, it is very fast. I don't know, like, expected there to be more of these like comic booky sequences, because I think these are really well done. Like, I really like the art for these and the characterization like the characterization of like the robot and your NPC pal Max, like, feels like very charming and cool. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. Like, I'm super on board for this. And then you boot up the game and you're in it. And you're like ready to start a run. You're in your little like base campy zone. And I run up to Max. I'm like, oh, yeah, hey, it's the person who saved me from the desert. And she kind of has just like this dead-eyed robot stare going on. I'm like,
Yeah,
oof, they
like,
spared no expense in this department, did they?
right. The only human in the game, ironically, is the least lifelike looking entity.
I was expecting her to have some like little quips, just like some throwaway voice lines, but they don't. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, they don't. She doesn't have any voice lines in the whole game.
No voice lines, and I think that like weirdly, so I don't know if this is like a translation thing, but like the quipping and like stuff that she says is like so inconsequential that I was just like, well, why is she here? Like, what is, I don't know, like I almost thought for a minute it was setting up like a bait and switch reversal of like, oh, it turns out she's actually a robot and she's a bad robot. I was like, that would be really cool. And then it didn't happen. I'm like, oh damn. But
Would have been something.
she does have like, little kind of like comic book quote boxes above her head that in between like little interstitial things, she'll say like, remember, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Or, so here's the plan. You kick some robo butt while I'm gonna chew bubble gum. And, like little like winky things like that, but I'm just like,
It would have been
but
bad if it was voiced.
yeah.
It could have been bad. This is true. So this is, a nice, safe way to go. And they still injected some character in the writing of said little quips. But yeah, like I spent a very long time like stopping and speaking to her every time. And then I realized, oh yeah, it is pretty inconsequential. I can just go, which I guess is kind of nice. The developers are giving you the go ahead to just smash out these runs.
Yeah, this game does feel very fast in comparison, I think, to our last roguey shooter game that we played with Dead Zone Rogue, which I have a lot of like very interesting comparison points here with that, where like RoboQuest feels like very fast, like it's so fast, like you can beat the first level in like 30 seconds because like combat is technically optional, except for like the times that you're locked into like you must kill all the enemies in this room before progressing situations.
That's actually because they couldn't figure out the complicated squad-based AI system that everyone wanted from the Dead Zone Rogue level, and they realized, oh no, we just gotta let you run past it. We're not there yet. We don't have the Guardian 500 years in the future technology.
We need that AI, that exquisite AI.
The exquisite AI. So yeah, it is very quick. Apparently there are these wonderful little roller coaster track pieces all around the level that lets you glide around, grind about, and it's a pretty vertically minded game. So much so that in the tutorial, it gives you the option to select Max's special, which is a crosshair wherein the camera is kind of set a little bit further up. So the crosshair is not in the middle of the screen, but it is down towards the bottom of the screen a little bit, just so you have a little bit of extra screen view of what's above you, which I is not really anything I'd ever seen before, and I played with that and I thought it worked nicely.
I feel like that is something reminiscent of console shooters, because I remember that being like a big thing with Halo 2, where like the targeting reticle was like 20% lower on the screen than it was like I think that was the case
Oh,
for
so I guess
Halo
I have
2, but
seen it
not
before.
Halo 1. But yeah, that's like I don't remember that part from the tutorial at all. Like so Max has like a special that you can activate that.
Oh, sorry. That's just I believe
It's
that's
like
what
an
they call it
option.
in the game. They
Oh,
call it
okay.
Max's special. And it is just one of the during the tutorial, it says which crosshair would you like to use?
Okay.
Regular or this other one. Yeah, and apparently there are some other movement methods, which none of which I unlocked in 20 hours. There's a grapple hook, apparently, a jetpack maybe.
Yeah, I think this is maybe my biggest criticism with the game. Like this game has a lot of like really good, very smart stuff going on with it. And a couple sticking points, this is one of them. So these are called gadgets, and these are things that like the closest corollary I can think to is like, remember like with Dead Cells, how like you would be progressing through the environment and there would be like this very obvious like Metroidvania thing you couldn't solve. Be like, oh man, if I had a wall jump, I'd be able to get up into that other zone. That's kind of like what these are, where there's like some parts of certain biomes that you're going through. It's like you've clearly very obviously can't get up there or through that thing, and you need some movement MacGuffin to get through there. And so there are these gadgets that are stuff that you kind of come across by doing optional sort of quests throughout a run, some of which require multiple runs to solve multiple parts of these things to go through. But like one of the easiest ones is, I think it's the Hero Cape. And this is one where like you just progress through the game as normal, and when you get to, I believe it's Aqua Station, There is a little robot kind of in the checkpoint room who's like frozen in a block of ice. And all you got to do is just you got to do some kind of fire damage to him. And then that'll melt the robot. And then that will, for whatever reason, unlock this hero cape. And what that allows you to do is, like, if you're up in the air, you can smash control and you will do like a ground pound attack. And you might think, like, okay, yeah, that's neat. But there is another gadget called the Pogo Stick. And this was one that actually, like, kind of, I was like, oh, whoa, I can see where they're cooking with this kind of setup here. My gripe with this is that I wish it was more upfront and like it was more required for like beating the game with, because it's very interesting. So the Pogo Stick is a gadget that's hidden in the quarry level, I think, of one of the Act One branches that you can unlock. And this is the thing where, like, the Andrew, like you were saying, the levels have like a very interesting level of verticality to them. And they're kind of begging for you to like go jump on stuff and explore things. And it has this kind of like, again, maybe coming back to Halo 2, of like, oh yeah, I jumped on this thing, I jumped on this other thing, and I found this skull hiding in the middle of nowhere, and it activated this crazy thing. That's where some of these things live. And the Pogo Stick one you can find in the quarry by parkouring around. And there's this robot just kind of hanging out on like a steel girder up in the air. You go and talk to him, and you're like, oh, you got the Pogo Stick. And so where this starts coming together is like Pogo Stick, you crouch, and then like after a second and a half or so, it'll like give you like this doing sound, and then like when you press the space bar after that, you'll do like a super jump. So you can
That's
see
not how
like,
Pogo sticks work.
well, as you know from all of your Pogo Stick experience, after you've Pogo Sticked up into the air, then you can ground pound down to do this kind of like, synergy move there. But more than that, right out the gate, there, like, this game has a lot of like very good fluid movement to it, and one of which is like if you're just moving forward and you press the crouch button, you'll do like a crouch slide, but that also charges up your Pogo Stick, so you can basically be doing like
Oh.
a constant like crouch slide, charging Pogo Stick, jump, like mega jump in the air, and then ground pound like constantly.
That's neat. That's
And this
fun.
is stuff that I'm like, that like I only just discovered this maybe like an hour ago, and I'm like, that would have been great to know like 10 hours ago when I was first playing the game, of like all of these cool movement options be opened up for later in the game.
One of the other cool movement things, slash, I don't even so it's movement ad and movement adjacent, is that you have Mario style like hop on enemies' head stuff, which I forgot existed for a while. But like it definitely helps you, like if you're just running around, you can like bounce on stuff around. It makes it so you want to like get in there a little bit more, which I liked a lot, because most of the time it's like, oh, if you were in most games, if you touch the enemy, it does damage to you, and that is true in this game too. But not if you're bouncing on them, which is like gives you a little more optionality to like get in close, and bounce on stuff, which I thought was fun.
Yeah, I think RoboQuest does a very interesting job with like subtle game mechanics that are very smartly implemented. And like you were saying with like getting up close, there's well, I guess like on the flip side, they don't really explain this very well, but there's like a chip damage system where like when you take damage, you kind of have like two health bars. And like you take damage, like your main kind of green health bar goes down, but there's like a dark gray health bar behind it. And when you blow up a robot in a very bloodless child-friendly way, it explodes out with all these happy green orbs that you pick up. And those orbs like refill a lot of that like dark gray bar, but like once that is fully filled up, then you're like, oh great, I'm back to full health again. But like when you start accumulating those green orbs for more health, it goes up way slower. So it's like encouraging you to like get up, get into there, get into the fight. Don't just like be sniping all the way back from across the map. Although there are some instances where you can build into that, but like it incentivizes you to like get up close, and just like get in the middle of the fight, and like all these exploding green orbs will be all around, and like you picking them up and all that stuff, and like that feels well designed. And then also maybe like coming back to obscure Halo game mechanics again, they're like I don't know how many other people dedicated like a huge chunk of their high school career to understanding what backpack reloading was. But in Halo 1, there was this like glitch that you could do for backpack reloading where you would like press the reload button twice in quick succession and then change weapons. And then the other like weapon would be like going through its reload process while you had your other weapon out. But in this game, that's built into the game. Like the.
Yes. I liked that a lot. Like, there's nothing worse than you use all of your ammo, you switch to your secondary gun, you use all your ammo there, and then you unwittingly switch back to your first gun and it's still unloaded, and you're just like, damn. Just feels bad.
Totally, totally. Also, double jump right out of the gate. Don't
Boom.
unlock it. Excellent. Good. Like that.
So as you are progressing through a run of RoboQuest, you'll be like going through, I guess, like, corridor sh it feels very corridor shooty at first. And you're like, I don't know, like this, this is all right, sure, fine. And as you progress through the world, you'll come to like these like little rest stop zones where it's like, okay, you can get your health refilled a little bit. You got some more buying options from helpful robot vendors. You can see what other like options of guns you can pick up and stuff like that. And typically there's usually like one robot in there saying like, hey, like if you show me some thing, I'll give you some reward for it. Like little mini quests like that. But there will also be these like imposing locked doors of like, oh boy, wouldn't you like to come through this area? Well, you gotta find some special key. You're like, well, that's great, but I didn't see any key on my way here. I think a lot of these levels are opened up by keys you find later in the game, which is kind of interesting. So things like the ruins or the quarry, your first kind of optional branching paths, you have to find keys later in the game through various means, and then on another, then that stays with you permanently. So when you start a new run, you can just run up and, oh, great, now I have access to the quarry and I can do stuff from there. Which would open up like, oh, now I can go to Aqua Station or the fields or something like that. And additionally, like corrupted even harder side levels, should you so desire, for various end of the game final purposes, which maybe we'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting mechanic there. Oh, what was I going to say? I was going to say something before talking about the what were we just talking about before I went into this wild tangent about the world stuff.
Oh, we're talking about jumping on robots' heads. We're talking about double jumping. We're talking about pogo sticks. Let's see here. Let's not forget. Also, this game has guns in it. Well, I'm sure you'll remember soon enough, Scott. But yeah, the branching path system. I think it's pretty neat. Honestly, I think the only path I unlocked was like to the ruins. And I do not like the ruins. It has a mechanic where everything you'll enter an area. So the way that the procedural generation is done is that you've got these bespoke modules, which are well designed, which are their own, combat arenas. Oftentimes they're kind of rectangular, and there's kind of a beginning and an end, and not super open. But anyway, and the game, kind of randomizes how those are connected, and they connect very seamlessly, and it gives you a pretty good FPS type experience, as opposed to Dead Zone Rogue, wherein each level module is self-contained, and you enter a door and you just sort of teleport to the next one. And I think that's cool, and it's pretty seamless and impressive. But I don't know if it adds that much to the game necessarily. But it looks very nice and works very well. Anyway, so the one thing that I unlocked was the ruins. You go to the ruins, and it has a mechanic where you go into one of these modules, and all the enemies have a shield on them. But then there's a enemy in the back that is generating the shield, and that would be fine if it was a more open arena type space like you see in the later levels of RoboQuest. But that early in the game, I did not enjoy it all. And so I don't I again this I don't know how valid of a critique this is, but like my personal player experience with experimenting and unlocking new branches was immediately bad, and so I never did it again. Except for sometimes there are in later levels like these weird those corrupted gateways you were talking about. It's kind of cool. I had no idea that there were keys later in the level that you would somehow keep in between runs and then could use. What also where are there's a robot there's a robot monkey of some kind who was on vacation hiding behind a waterfall, classic video game trope, tried and true, who is looking for his swimming trunks. I have no idea where swimming trunks are. Does anyone know where they are?
So I just did this before we popped on the recording. This and these are like the kind of theme of these convoluted quests that you go on, where some of them I feel like are a little too much. Others are just right, and some of them, like just melting the little guy, are like, okay, yeah, I get it. The swim trunks one, you have to first unlock the buddy bot, and I forget how you do that, but it's somewhere in the wiki. And the buddy bot is like this optional like weapon slash summon that you can start with. So at the start of your run, you can like pick up this little buddy bot. He's very cute, very very orbular. Like when you switch, so you have your starting pistol or buddy bot, and when you switch to buddy bot, it's just like you're holding up the buddy bot and you're like holding his arm and like using his arm to shoot. Or you can put him on the ground and he'll like run around and like distract enemies and stuff. The buddy bot you have to take to the Oasis, I believe. And the first starting zone of the Oasis, where like your Max is there and you have all your options and stuff. Waterfall, of course, behind that waterfall is a door with a buddy bot logo on it. You present said buddy bot. The lock pulls off, and for whatever reason, there's a robot behind there that has swim trunks, and that's where you pick up the swim trunks to take to the surfer bot later in the Oasis level,
I see.
in order to do
And
that.
he's a
But
surfer, excuse me. He's not a tourist. He's probably local.
also crucially, like in that same zone where you present said swim trunks, if you don't have them, you can still unlock the hunter class there by interacting with just a you it's a blink and you miss it kind of a thing, but there's a lot of hidden detail in a lot of these maps here of like a javelin in the ground, and you just walk up to him, like, interact with javelin. You've unlocked is it the ranger class. And just like, okay, great.
Yeah, I did. So, before we get too far in, full disclosure that I did not play that much of this game. I just didn't have that much time. So I only unlocked one class, the commando. And I thought it was kind of weird that they put so much effort and like care into the discovery of First Guardian guy, and then the second one you unlock, it's like, hey, by the way, you unlocked a thing. Like, where's my cartoon for Commando? Like, I don't even need like that much. Just give me
Sure,
like a
sure.
splash screen
Great
that
point.
of like it's you kill 750 enemies, and then like, where did
It's
he come
just,
from?
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it would
and
have been nice to have a similar thing where you unearth him and
like, we
activate.
don't have that much plot, and I mean, I guess there's more plot later, but like, it would have been nice to have a little flavor there.
Yeah, and I feel like that's sort of like my other gripe with this game is that like the little comic book movie sequences are really good in this game. They're very like well animated, they're very charming, there's a lot of good characterization to it. And the shooting stuff, like you actually like going through a run and shooting stuff, is really good. It feels very good and fluid, and it feels like you're making a lot of interesting decisions along the way. And then it kind of feels like everything else is just like, I don't know, like we'll just like they kind of forgot to like tie those two things together closer, maybe. Like I think what I would have wanted was like when you unlocked like one of those character classes, like I don't know, having like the little movie, like the comic book movie thing of like oh, now the purple guy's in, or now the green guy's in, because it's just the yellow starting command or guardian class to start off with, which is
Yeah.
fine. Like he can
They
be
could have
the
had the commando, the next guy that you get, would you get by defeating 750 enemies. He could have been like, shows up and be like, now that you've proved yourself, here I am.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even need to find it. I mean, you don't find him in a level, but like, I don't even need like a full comic book. It could just be like one splash screen with.
Commando has joined the fight.
No, I mean, it does say that like you unlocked it, but like some characterization. Also, that was more fun into my. I didn't particularly like the Guardian's like special ability. Like the whole shield stuff, not it's just not generally how my playstyle works. I like the shotgun and grenade rocket launch thing much better.
The one like outlandishly broken build that I was able to find in my limited playtime with this game was with the Guardian, because there was one of those like passive perk things that are like you so you're running around, you're killing bots, and you pick up like little screws that are your XP, which are the things that don't heal you. And so if you're like speed running through the game, you're not picking those up. So it's this interesting kind of ba like you are graded on two separate curves at the end of every level between like how much XP did you get, D through S ranking, and then how much like what was your speed ranking. So if like you're very slow and thorough, like you can grade yourself that way. And when you level up, you get one of your classic pick one from three perk kind of things from these styles of games. And the one that I got for Guardian was like when you activate your bubble shield, like you have unlimited ammo for like that 6 seconds. And there's one gun in this game. It's like the Men in Black like cricket gun that has one shot, but it does like 5,000 damage or something stupid. And I'm like, okay, I have a bubble. And like I've been stacking all these perks to make my bubble shield last longer, and the longer that it's lasting, I'm having more infinite ammo. And so I was just like pulling out this gun that should be just like a one shot, and then you're taking 3 seconds to reload it. Now I can get off like 9 or 10 shots in a row.
Oh,
And
wow.
I'm just walking into a room and just like bulldozing whole rooms of dudes with it. I'm like,
That's the
yep, okay.
trick. You cracked it. I've been trying to make that build work for like 10 hours. Unlike Dead Zone Rogue, unlike other first person games, I hardly ever felt powerful in this game. And part of that was that I was playing it on hard. But even when I dropped down to normal, it always felt like I do not have enough damage output. This is untenable. And I finally got to the final boss, and I didn't even like early today I got to the final boss, and I didn't even bother doing any more runs just based on like the math. It's like, okay, I whittled him down like 15%. Like I'm doing some rough math in my head, and it's like that I do not have enough number to kill this guy and to also dodge all of these lasers. Like the final boss level is like bananas, and I feel pretty confident that like if I went on some of these little quests and got some of the movement items unlocked, that would help a lot.
I'm looking at this power crystals thing. If you get red power crystal, deactivate all lasers on the moon.
That would be useful. Where are these lasers?
So,
Okay,
yeah,
also
I
sorry,
don't
other
know.
big problem I have. The game very much incentivized, has a wonderful scoring screen. It feels so good to get an S rank. Big ol' S, very exciting. It incentivizes you to go fast, but it also is incentivizing you to go on these little quests where you have to poke and prod and look at every detail of the level to find these unlocks. And I don't love that those two are in conflict. I feel like there could have been a better way to do that. Perhaps those items are hidden in the little base camp zones, the rest area between the fighting, perhaps, or really just anything other than what they have right now. Or make them links to like how well you do the boss fights or something. Anyway,
I
go
mean,
right ahead.
like,
Where are these crystals? I
so
can't find them.
the power crystals, which are things that you can use to bring the difficulty level of the final
Boss
biome
fight.
down,
Oh, the whole biome. Okay.
Are things that you find in like these corrupted side branch levels. So, for example, like you start a run in the canyons, you can side branch out to the quarry, and then in the quarry level, there is like a section that requires a like a 3-digit code or something. You're like, where the hell am I going to find a 3-digit code for? Ah, but if you remembered
I didn't.
from the rest area in the canyons that gave you the branch option to go to the quarry, there's like a poster, right? Like, it's in hindsight, it's blindingly obvious. But like, you run past it like 10 times and you're like, I don't know what this means. And there's a 3-digit number right next to the gate to the quarry. If you were to take a screenshot or write that down, you take that 3-digit code to this one section, open up another door that leads to like the hard mode zone of the pit. And so like there are various branches of these from all the different levels. There's the Rift, the Scrapyard, the Doom Gardens, District 13, etc. Where each one of these has like a big power crystal, and these are slightly different levels where instead of just going end to end, it's more of kind of like an open concept plan of a stage where in each one of the normal levels, you have like an option to go on to like these little purple crystal paths that have some like cute little like platformer, like jumpy puzzle with like laser grids and
Which
stuff
I
that.
thought were pretty well done, and it is a nice change of pace. You get a little loot at the end of it, and I almost always did them.
And it's a good little risk reward mechanism. These corrupted levels are like three of those. And so you have to go through three of those. And there's enemies along the way, but like there's like I think they're all kind of like triply branched off from each other. And then after you do that, I think you fight a boss, because I think all of these are at the end of the chapter for that biome or something. But you fight a boss, and then at the end of that boss is like a power crystal that's there, and you go and activate, or you claim the crystal to take back to base camp. And what that allows you to do is to activate those to make the very final level easier. So if you like, and some of them are contingent for like these goofy side quests as well. So
And to be
like
clear, this isn't like hidden. You get to the moon, which brought to mind when you
the
fight
moon.
Nazis on the moon in the Wolfenstein series. So I appreciated that. So you get to the moon, and there's these giant crystals right there. And there's a little, and you go into the next area, and there is a little screen that talks about the crystals. It's like, oh, cool. Well, surely I'll naturally encounter one of these, because I mean, there's six of them. Surely one of them I will find, and has not happened. So this gatekeeping, I know it's not totally a gated situation, but it feels that way. And all of these, there's a lot of unlocks, there's a lot of meta progression. This has got to be in like the top three of games where there's no way you could beat it first run. Like in a roguelike, you want there to at least be the illusion that, like, well, if I was just good enough at Hades, I could beat it first go. Like, I think it might be literally impossible, unless I don't know, maybe there's a bot that could be designed to allow
Well,
you to dodge every bullet.
this is an interesting question because so like the first few times I was playing through this like a long time ago, I'm like, yeah, I'll just play on normal mode, and you're getting like bodied halfway through, and you're just like, okay, yeah, like that's the standard thing. I'll just like upgrade the stuff to give me more options, blah blah blah. But for this time, I'm like, okay, I have to do my due diligence and research for this game. I have to see what the end game content looks like. I'm gonna turn the difficulty all the way down to like super noob ass easy mode for
Which is
like it's
interesting to see in a shooter. I haven't seen
right?
that too many times.
And
Yeah,
it's
there's
I
like
think
a, it's called like discovery mode or
yeah,
something.
and the tagline is like for people who are new, or like if this is your first ever first person shooter that you've ever played, which on one hand
What a
I'm like,
choice.
yeah, bold choice for a rogue style game that are supposed to be famously difficult, but at the same time I'm like, I guess I'm okay with that being an option, because if this is like, there has to be like three people on Earth for which like this is their first-person shooter game, and their parents won't let them play anything. They won't let them play Doom Eternal. They're like, we'll get you this game because there's no blood in it. You're just shooting robots. It's fine. And I could see them being like, well, I've never played a first-person shooter before, so I'll put it on easy mode. And like the enemies are so painfully easy, at least to start. I'll say this, at least to start, where they're like maybe shooting like once every 10 seconds or something. And in that playthrough, I beat that whole playthrough like just in like one sitting. And I always thought like, oh man, like was that too easy? Like, did I spoil myself by like going through and like, man, like the end levels were still like making me sweat and they were still really hard. And that
All
was on
right,
like noob ass easy mode. So.
Well, at the very least, in terms of like accessibility, appreciate that that option is there. I was just again surprised to see it. Like it's pretty commonplace in like AAA story driven games. Pardon me. Like all the like Sony big AAA games seem to have that type of option,
Yeah, it's
and
kind of
I'm glad
interesting that
it's there.
like it's interesting that Returnal did not have that. But yeah, I think like this game, yeah, like if you set it to easy mode and you're just like booting it up for the first time, theoretically you could beat it on your
Okay.
first playthrough.
All right, well, that's good to hear. Again, perhaps I just was overestimated my abilities or something. So the most of the time I played it on hard. And yeah, it, not a problem of aim. My dodging could have been better, I suppose, but like most of the time is just like, yo, the time to kill is just too long for all of these robots. And I'm like stacking, I'm making, I think, pretty informed perk choices. Like, all right, I'm gonna go all element, or oh, I'm gonna stack everything onto the guardian shield so that when I activate the guardian shield, I'm shooting faster, I'm doing more damage. And like I was it was just it felt frustrating. Whereas in Dead Zone, it was very often there was like a climb to get to that level, but like once I would get a build going, it felt easier to put together a semi-broken build that still felt not unfair, not like ridiculous, but like well earned and still competitive.
I mean, that is the goal of all roguelike games, is to feel a little bit broken. Not necessarily. I mean, some games is to feel a lot broken. Like the original Monster Train was like, the scaling was my favorite part of it, which is like, unless you have a broken build, you get crushed. But then even, but you're like, I'm doing 1,000% more damage at this point.
And
Yeah,
I think
this.
part of the reason for that is that in these perks, there's a lot of 10% better
Yeah.
sort of shit. And we don't like those types of perks. Now,
Here's a philosophical question. Where's the breaking point for that?
when do you actually
25%?
notice?
I'm not even sure.
Perhaps, but it might be higher.
Well, I feel like there's something missing where it's like it can be those stupid vague numbers, but if you show me some sort of like bar of like you're gonna up this thing by like 36%. Like, that's great. I don't know what numbers mean, but if you show me like a bar like tripling in size, I'm like, yeah, baby, let's do it. Like, we're going all in on fire grenades. Why not?
For
That I
sure.
feel like is kind of missing here. And I don't think that like Dead Zone did that like particularly better, but
Well, I think one of the default perks is like 50% more ammo, and it's like, all right, awesome, great,
yeah.
good. My memory is that Dead Zone does this quite a bit better.
Well, but Dead Zone
Also the
has.
guns feel better, just in general. Not the gun, pardon me, the guns from a stat standpoint. Like I never never in RoboQuest did I pick up a gun and go, oh wow, this is it. This is the sawed off. This is the double barrel shotgun from Doom. This is the golden gun. This is the Gauss rifle from of Half-Life fame. Like one time I picked up a legendary super duper gun. In 20 hours I saw it one time. And it was okay. And maybe that's because it was on hard. I'm not sure. The actual hard stats are not that much higher than normal. It's like plus 10%. We're just kind of saying how 10% is nothing. It's like plus 10 or 15% like enemy damage or enemy aggression or something. Yeah, I don't I the game isn't quite balanced to my particular FPS meathead sensibilities, I think, in general.
Yeah,
But
I
yeah, let's
think.
get more bars. Let's get more 25% minimum of these sorts of upgrades. But in general, from like a design perspective, I like a lot of the perks. I think the way that it encourages you to use your melee ability and your special ability is cool. Like for example, with the commando, you can get one wherein there's a lot of play between the melee ability and the Q rocket ability. and like one will recharge the other, one will increase the damage of the other, and you get into this almost of an MMO type flow of where you have your rotation of abilities, and that feels nice to get that rotation going. But again, one would hope that once you get that rotation going, you feel like you're effectively dismantling the enemies. And I never felt like I was especially
Yeah.
effective.
And this was one thing that I would like I was scouring for of like, okay, there's like even more difficulty systems beyond hard. They're called Guardian level difficulties. And the highest one is Guardian 4, which I guess is like the sicko mode difficulty for once you've unlocked all of the meta progression stuff. There is an endless mode in this game that I was like I was reasonably interested in checking out, but I was doing the math. I'm like, there's no way I'm gonna be able to get like 100 wrenches unlocked from like the final meta progression tier before recording time. So there's this YouTuber, Hader Axe, HaderAxe, who has like RoboQuest has got to be like this guy's favorite game because like he has. I was watching one run through that he was doing of. I think it was the recon class. And I'm like, okay, let's watch this one because I don't really understand the recon class at all. He was doing like this like coked out melee build where he had some sort of like he was focusing all in on melee stuff. And I don't think that like that's a class that like is particularly like melee first, if I remember right. But he was like finding all of, like these crazy synergies, and like late by the end of the video, he's just like swiping so fast that it's just like comically broken. So there probably is
I
stuff.
guess there's options out there. I should have much earlier. I should have watched some gameplay videos because I think there's something fundamental I'm not
Yeah, but I think your point
grokking.
stands because like you know in you know 20-ish hours of gameplay like that should have been something that like you get your first broken build in like you know 3 to 4 hours of gameplay, but the game is also broken and who's gonna break the game faster kind of a thing.
Sure. Part of I think maybe my I remember at one point Will elucidating this point very clearly and very nicely, wherein meta progression is kind of its own perfect type of game balance. Like you can make the game as hard as you want or as hard as you want because eventually you'll reach like an event horizon, each individual player, where you've unlocked enough meta progression stuff that you can now complete the game. That your skill,
The game will tune its difficulty to match how hard
in
you've
effect,
ground.
right? I have unlocked everything in the meta progression menu, and I just the number is not high enough. It's not high enough, and I'm shooting those Orbeez right in their little eyeball spot, and yeah, again, maybe I'm misunderstanding something about the perk keywords or what have you. Yeah, I'm looking at a speed run here. Well, I don't know. So far, interesting. All right. Well, okay. We're not gonna record me just watching the speed
Yeah,
run.
let's
Shout out to Hater Axe. All right.
welcome to the Hater Axe podcast.
But hey, let's talk about shooting for a minute. That being said, the shooting feels pretty good, and like Dead Zone. Dead Zone Rogue, that's what it's called. There we go.
It really is a terrible name for a game.
Is not great.
Will and I, on the way home from watching the Seahawks win Super Bowl,
Oh,
were
excellent.
trying to remember the name of that game, and neither of
Hilarious.
us could.
Excellent. That's standing good. Like that game, this game somehow makes killing robots fun, which for a long time, I feel like the FPS genre had an issue with where it was just objectively better to be jibbing apart some blood sack, some living biological creature. But in this game, you know, combination of good sound effect feedback and maybe not powerful in execution always for me, but powerful looking guns and good feeling weapons and various effects of sparks and pieces of machinery flying off. It feels very nice to walk around this game and shoot stuff, which is sounds simple and obvious, but is not a guarantee with shooting games. It's quite nice here. And the guns themselves are varied,
I
are
like the guns.
interesting. and fun to look at and fun to use.
The only downside I have for the guns is that, like, if you're in the like side branch corrupted puzzle things, when you choose the gun, the game pauses. If you're in the middle of a run in a level, it does not pause when you're looking at it. So it is hard to like, from a very new player, it's hard to judge which gun you want.
For sure.
You're like, scan, oh God, scan these attributes, try and figure out what you're, is this good enough to break the build that I'm going for? And then you're just like, time to go.
Yeah, any game that allows you to dual wield cast iron pans as a melee weapon, that's
They and
doing.
the cast iron pans are pretty good.
And to be clear,
I
the
thought they
cast
were
iron
fun.
pans, they are nunchucks, in fact. That they are held together by some kind of a lightsaber type beam that you
They're
can swing
pan,
around.
the pan, pan chuck.
Indeed.
Panchaku.
Chuck the
Pan.
I also specifically want to call out the I forget what the game calls it, but it is a Warhammer 40,000 Bolter, which is a
Oh, yeah.
caseless like rocket firing rifle of sorts. And this is a very good portrayal of the bolter. Sometimes the fact that these shots explode is missed in video game portrayals. It looks good and feels good to use. And it's got the right sort of rhythm of firing. That's not super fast, but it's fast enough to feel quite good. Did anyone use the like knives and hatchets and things of that nature?
I thought the hatchet was fun.
I didn't really experiment with melee builds that often because I felt like, I mean, I was just talking a minute ago about like, oh, this game is great because it encourages you to get up close and personal. But I'm a big weenie and I wanted to just sit like way back and not take any damage, particularly on normal mode, quote unquote normal mode, because I was like, man, I'm taking so much damage on like the chapter two levels that like I felt almost, well, almost disincentivized, but at the same time, maybe not the best character class for that as well that I was using.
Perhaps. with regards, speaking a little bit more about the you mentioning the second act or second chapter, reminded me of some other sort of neat, smart design choices that make the act of just pointing and shooting at stuff more engaging. Because if that's all your game has, then you're going to get bored pretty quickly. The robots, there are these starting, I think, in chapter two. There's these tiny shield robots which will like fly over another robot and produce a shield. So you have to contend with them first. And it's kind of fun because you're used to aiming high for a headshot in these games. And in this game, it's like, oh no, you got to aim a little bit higher even. And it's almost sort of playing off of muscle memory that already exists in this genre and adds another opportunity. It's like, oh, you thought a headshot was satisfying. Well, this is a double headshot. You got to get that, the second head first, and then the robot head. And there's, fun little things like that throughout the game. I also want to specifically call out there's a roller coaster themed boss fight where there
Yes,
are
Sir Cattercoaster.
yes, that's so great, taking, one of the core movement mechanics, which is these rails that you're grinding around on, and making that the main part, making that the level for this boss fight. Yeah, it's a giant caterpillar that's flying around on the railing, and you're also grinding around on the railing while acid is coming up from the bottom. Super cool, very very good stuff.
See, and that's where I felt like I wanted more of that, because like the other movement mechanics of like the ground pound or pogo stick or like the grap, like don't even get me started on the jetpack. Like the amount of shit that you have to go through to unlock the jetpack is like, it's ridiculous. Like I had a goal to get through to unlock the jetpack and play around with it before recording, and I'm just like, there's no way. There's no way I can do it. Because of all the backtracking you got to do. But I wanted there to be more boss fights that incorporated that stuff. So like, if you got that stuff earlier on and it really kind of showcased like, oh, this is like how open and fluid and like, you're able to in Biome One just like jetpack up to like the canyon rim, and now you're like shooting down into the canyon, totally different gameplay experience. Or like from up there, like grapple hooking in like up to an enemy and like meleeing them and stuff like that. Like That would have been really cool if I had all those options unlocked like 4 hours in. I don't know if that's something that they added in later, and like
Oh,
I
possibly.
could totally see that being the case where they were like, well, we didn't design the game around like a grappling hook jetpack fight, but goddamn, that would have been fucking sweet if it was. Because the Tony Hawk like rail grinding one was, I thought like that one stood out to me as like one of like the my favorite boss fight of the game, just because it was so
Oh
interesting
yeah.
and unique.
That one was especially good. And the other boss fights are no slouch either. I think they're all pretty well designed. Although the mole guy who drills through the ground and pops up, he has one move set where I'm not sure, I don't quite understand how he gets in and out of the state, and sometimes he just stays in the state of just blasting you with these giant orb
The
projectiles.
bubble, yeah.
Yeah, and if you go to the wrong part of the arena during that fight, you're donezo. So the minor complaint, but in general, yeah, the boss fights are pretty good. Yeah, that last boss fight, I don't advise anyone trying to take that one on without doing these crystal quests, which I'm a little annoyed by. It's like, I'm sorry, is this a shooting game, or is this a some kind of a weird MMO? I mean, quest is in the name, I suppose, of this game.
Yeah, what
So,
is the deal with that? What's the name of this game, Robo Quest?
because you're a robot. Well, so I guess we kind of talked a little bit about the like the intro story sequence things, but it says like right up front, mission, take humans to the city. And
Yeah.
like the again, like I wish there were more of these things, because when you fail a loop and you go back to the beginning again, it I feel, you're never supposed to compare your favorite children. But right now I'm playing ahead for one of another game that we're playing later on this year, and I just keep comparing it back and forth to that one. I'm like, God, the other game does it so well. Why can't this one do it? I'm like, nope,
What
don't do
about
that. You can't compare them.
comparing your least favorite children? Or your
I wouldn't
mid-tier
say
favorite children.
RoboQuest is my least favorite child.
No, I know.
But like these the little comic book sequences, I think kind of spell out of like, oh, you're going into this like big, like futuristic techno city, or the yellow guardian robot is like, your quest is to go take human to city for reasons, question mark. And there's this like big like giant red eyeball that hacks into your computer screens or Max's computer screens every so often and says, no, you're not allowed in here. Humans, all the humans have been banished, etc. And then, eventually you break into the city and it's this very big, lush, lavish garden, and all of the biomes that you're running around in there look great. It's just really good environment design. But the big eyeball is saying like, you're ignorant species. You were banished from the city, and you ate all my fruit and stuff. And Max is like, no, you stupid psycho. Why did you banish us? And your player character, the robot, solves all of these conversations by just like charging into the thing and punching it into submission, which is
Yeah, the storyline is intriguing, and I would have appreciated a little bit more. Like that's a good hook. It's like a good hook, rather, is why was mankind banished? Which, I mean, as a vegan, I can think of plenty of reasons why mankind would be labeled as bad. But I am curious. I'll probably keep playing this game. It's pretty fun. And definitely there was a major drive for me to, the one more run sort of thing existed. So I am intrigued and enough to want to know how the story ends, or at least get an explanation of like, wait, what happened 500 years ago when humankind was outcast from this robot AI controlled utopia. Yeah. And about those levels, when you get to the actual city, the game switches up the level design a fair bit. Instead of being these kind of more of a linear kind of snaking paths, branching snaking paths, you get to these larger open levels wherein you have specific objectives. Like you have to go and kill five different bosses, or there's another one where you have to get to two of the purple corrupt zones. I forget what they're called. And I appreciate that that was enjoyable. And they still keep the verticality, so you can be running around on the rooftops and things. And that slightly more open level design is something that I definitely enjoyed without being so sprawling that, like, you know, you're constantly getting lost. So oftentimes in these roguelike games, like in Act Three, they decide to do a gameplay switch up, and sometimes it doesn't work. In this case, I think it works pretty well.
It kind of makes me a little mad that like other like established shooter like IPs have not tried doing something like this, 'cause I feel like if this was like a Halo game, goddamn, this would be an amazing Halo game, 'cause of just like run it like using the environment to like run around and jump on stuff. Like it I feel like if you are a fan of that kind of like, you know, Halo style like running around the using the environment as like a thing, but like that works so well. Like it was tickling my Halo brain so well when playing this game, and it made me, yeah, just wanting to see that adapted more of like, how come we don't have more Mario games designed like this? You know, like get weird with the IPs, people. I mean, like
Sure.
this one's great. I'm glad this one exists.
I think to me, one of the best things that RoboQuest does is it's a really good example of how you can take good core gameplay and stretch it out in a good way, like, you know, slap it out into a tasty pizza that is better than just that ball of dough. It's I definitely, you know, yeah, I'd like to see more games, more shooter games especially like this, because of course one of the main issues that has plagued the FPS genre is that these campaigns are so short, you know, the game's so short. But just some of the stuff under the hood, with the perks and the numbers, I'm not so into. Oh, hey, here's something that's not under hood and very apparent. There are scopes in this game, but there's no iron sights. Bravo, bravo. We don't need iron sights in every game. I love shooting from the hip. Definitely speaks to the boom shoot part of me. Appreciate that quite a bit. Now, pardon me. Dead Zone did have you know, iron sights, and it's you know, it's fine. It's just I don't like the idea that iron sights have to be mandatory in games. So it was nice that
I wanted them.
where you would have liked them.
You wanted to aim down
I actually, I
the
don't even know if
nunchucks.
I don't know if I even wanted them more than just I instinctively tried to do it and was my like crocodile first person shooter brain was like, why no aim down scope?
Why no? Yeah, exactly. I hear you. I hear where you're coming from.
Yeah, I think the there's also something in this game. The again, this game really doesn't go out of its way to explain anything to you, and the wiki is kind of hit or miss, but there's something called a collector in RoboQuest that I don't really know anything more than that, but I think like in other rogue games, it allows you to kind of set some sort of control over your build such that you can like thumbs up or thumbs down or like ban things from the pool that can give you a little bit more authority on how you build that run out. 'Cause yeah, I mean like as you're progressing, you're just like, I don't know what any of these options are for this class. Like I don't know how I should be speccing this thing out. But like where's that broken build? Like in other games, like you can kind of see how the puzzle pieces are falling together. In this one, like it's good that there's like a lot of stuff, but there's maybe a little too much stuff right out of the gate that like kind of mystifies that a little bit. So I have no idea what this collector thing is or where it comes into effect, but that seems like another sort of tool that you can use to hone that stuff down. And I feel like the in service of what question, at least for me, was like why am I playing this game? What am I supposed to be doing for this like long term? And for me, it was beating the story mode. And after I did that, it was like an Alexander wept moment because I'm like, is that it? Like, did I just like spoil myself on everything? But,
What you need is, of course, a Slay the Spire style heart, a boss after the boss.
yeah, and that was kind of what I was hoping that the main boss was, and that like, you know, each time you beat it, like you're collecting like the power crystals, and the power crystals themselves are the thing that like fall down the gate so that you can go and kill the heart, so to speak. But yeah, it is kind of amazing that more games don't sort of ape that format of like, all right, I beat like the Act 3 elite boss, but wow, but you didn't beat the boss, now did you?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it's just harder because then you have to make the next boss like just more stuff. Like it's easy for
Yeah.
something like Slay the Spire because that doesn't really require like a lot more programming work.
Yeah,
But
I think with like third person shooters in particular, because of that 3D aspect, everything is just like geometrically more, well, pun
yeah.
intended, more complicated, because you just have so much more like bullshit you have to worry about versus like 2D sprites.
Yeah. One thing we haven't yet mentioned is sound design. Music, very good. Like very good
Oh yeah.
music.
Oh yeah.
I say that often, but I think this is a step above most of the soundtracks. Like it was stuck in my head at work today, and I have not played this game that much, so that's pretty, like it is immediately stuck in my head.
And it has a good use of like restraint to it as well, for how like bombastic it is, because when you're in the little prep zone before like your biome start, it's got like maybe like a theme that's kind of like toned down a little bit, but like still kind of like getting you in the mindset. And then when you walk up to like the hologram, or like the force field gate, to like, all right, this is when you're gonna start blasting robots, you cross that threshold, and then it boom, like it just drops you right into the music, and it just feels so good.
Yeah.
It's very well directed in that aspect.
I'm listening through the soundtrack right now, and it's like the later tracks are good too. Like I haven't really listened to them anywhere near as much, if at all. And it's like, oh yeah, these feel like good moon tracks. Like
Good moon. Yeah, there's I believe the big bad is called Iris,
yep.
and the story sort of leads you to believe like, oh, you're going into the final battle, and Max says like, according to my, according to these readings, Iris is right through this door or whatever, like in the next area. And yeah, I made sure to turn the music up a bit, make sure I didn't have any distractions, a podcast or something. So that I could really enjoy that. And it hit me with an original track, first time I've been to that level, and it was a good auditory experience. It's sort of a metal electronic fusion that's well done, that doesn't like go too far into either of those genres, and it's definitely a greater than the sum of its parts things
It's
sort
got
of
a little bit of
situation.
a poppy, a little bit of a pop hint to it too, as well,
A
though.
little bit of a
Like
pop. Yeah, definitely, sure.
especially the earlier ones. It's metal, but it's like pop metal
Sure.
or
It's
pop.
very melodic, and it's got
Yeah.
some nice juicy hooks to it, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's well done. It's obvious why Scott picked it for our music fest.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Anything else we want to cover before
Well,
popping
as
into those
always, I was hoping to get Will's input on some of these weapon designs, some of these how tangible some of these weapons were, but it'll have to wait when we eventually
I mean, yeah, we could ask him like how much do the pants compare to the nunchucks, and he could tell us the answer.
so true. Yes. Yeah, but I think that's it for my notes. This it's one of those games where it's like I enjoyed playing it so much, but my ranking unfortunately doesn't really reflect that very much. Let me just double check my maps here, or my maps, my notes here. Yeah, RoboQuest, it feels like they took a lot of something I do want to call it before we get into rankings, is I was a little unclear on when this game came out, and because it feels so very much inspired by things like Borderlands, things like Overwatch, it brought to mind. But on like very positive ways. And so at first I thought, oh, did this come out, right when like Overwatch came out, or clearly it came out much later. And yeah, it took a lot of positive elements from games that I don't especially like that much. I don't especially like Overwatch or Borderlands that much. And this is like a good version of that in a lot of ways, which I appreciate.
It took the style, but not the stuff that you don't like.
Indeed. Borderlands is the RoboQuest at home now.
Yeah. Are we gonna do rankings?
I'm looking
I'll
looking at the
start us
numbers
off.
here, but there's one thing that's not a number in there.
Yeah, I'll start us off. I'm going to give this game an A minus, because I don't feel like I played this game enough to give it a real ranking. I will give the quick ranking up. We've compared this enough to Dead Zone Rogue. I gave that a 7.5, and I'm almost 100% sure this game is more up my alley than that. So somewhere between 7.5 and 8 is probably where I would rank it, extrapolating out from my 109 minutes of playing, which sounds like very few, and it is. But that's like,
This is such a
I don't know.
fast
It's
game
like
that, like, you...
nine or 10 runs. Like, I was blasting through them because I was trying.
Sure.
I was like trying to get in some runs for this game, for this podcast. So I did not look at the story. I was just like jamming through all of my runs. I was going as fast as possible. But yeah, I had a good time playing it. I don't know when, but I will play more of this game. I thought it was basically everything, all of the potential that I felt like we had in Dead Zone Rogue, I feel like this kind of capitalized on in my book. Like, I like the style of the game better. I thought the flow of it was similar, but just a little bit more snappy for me. And I really liked the weapons. I thought they were pretty fun and interesting and different. Like the weapons felt different from each other. They were truly like, some of them were strange. I don't know if they were good, but they acted differently, and that was enough to be like, oh, well, this is a weapon that I don't think I really want, but it's two levels higher than the crappy gun I have now, so I guess I'm gonna shoot weird rockets for a while, or like bubbles that bounce. Great. So yeah, I think it was fun. I think that this is a game that many people would like. I don't know if all people would like it a lot, but I think it's pretty much anyone could pick this up and have a decent amount of fun with it.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. For me, I'm gonna give it my exact same ranking as Dead Zone Rogue, because I f which is a 7.7. And the reason why I think is like they both solve like different problems for what they're going for, and I think like RoboQuest solves like a lot of like problems that I had with Dead Zone Rogue. Dead Zone Rogue solves like some problems that I have with RoboQuest. If they somehow come like did like a fusion dance and combined their powers into one game, that I'm sure like would not be very good, but I would still be interested to try it. Would be interesting. But yeah, I think like I don't know, the difficulty kind of feels a little all over the place. If it had like one difficulty mode and it was just like this is the difficulty mode and you're gonna like bend the meta progression and the broken build stuff to bend to it, maybe that would feel a little better. For a game that's like entirely filled with robots, like it feels very lifeless and robotic, ironically. But like there's some robots that have like very interesting charm and care, like the dancing like jukebox robot at the
Love
very
that guy.
at the
Love
very
that guy.
start.
Shout out to jumping, dancing, hooting, hollering,
Very
boombox guy.
cute. But like Max in game is like this like dead-eyed, like we were posting Jaws memes about like someone's human eyes, like a doll's eyes. And I'm just like, man, like, why bother having her? Like, if the little rest areas were just like little comic book things that popped up, I don't know, like, would that be better? Meta progression, I felt meh on the enemy's design. Like, I think when I was running around and shooting them, felt okay, but like, for the life of me, I could not draw you a picture of what any of the robots looked like, other than Sir Cattercoaster. Other than that. Yeah, and I guess like some of the mechanics could maybe be explained a little better. Oh, and the gadgets. Like the gadgets need to come out way faster. But the good stuff that I do like about this, yeah, like the art design for the comic book sequence is great. I love everything about it, the characterization, the charm for it. Just wish there was more of them. I will shout out Sir Cattercoaster one more time for being the Tony Hawk FPS boss fight that I've always wanted and never knew existed until now. A lot of the level design is very colorful and open and very fun to look at. I think the environment design is very good. The soundtrack goes way hard. Yeah, it's very fast and fluid if you want it to be, and it can be very slow and methodical if you want it to be. So yeah, I think it's a 7.7 for me.
Okay, so initially I thought, well, this is an easy rank. I put it right behind Dead Zone just because I like Dead Zone's I like Elements of It just a little bit better. But then that would have put it ahead of Jupiter Hell. I'm like, oh, I can't do that. And I just kept going down the line. I'm like, nah, I can't quite do that. Can't justify that. And a big thing was Risk of Rain 2. I'm like, I realize it's a different type of shooting game, Risk of Rain 2, so they're not directly comparable. But like, honestly, Risk of Rain 2 should probably be way, way, way higher. But anyway, okay. So here's the bottom line for me. Still, even though it ended up much lower than Dead Zone Rogue on my list, I was still very much, comparing them in my brain space and trying to figure out in my meathead FPS brain space and trying to figure out like, well, what are the pros and cons of these different games? And Dead Zone sacrifices speed for a little extra strategy and a little bit of putting the player to work in the actual game development as the level designer. Because if you'll recall, if you'll think back to Dead Zone Rogue, instead of having connected level modules, it drops you into a more generally more open arena type space where you're not instantly fighting. You're in stealth mode, and it's not until you shoot the first bullet that you get all the enemies aggro to you. And so you get to analyze the level, look at the different classifications of enemies that are in the space, and figure out, okay, where's the best place for me to start in this level. And part of the reason it can do that and depend on that pretty major mechanic is that the different enemies have a little bit more distinct and specific behavior, which is something that I look for as especially as an old school FPS player. Something that you don't see in like modern warfare style of games where it's like usually you're just fighting guys with different guns. And that calm strategizing stage really works for me because of that interesting reason that you get to be kind of think about the level and make the that that those tactical decisions, but also because it I think gives a game a nice flow where that action-packed balls to the wall shooting speed fest is rendered irrelevant if you don't have time to calm down. And the roller coaster is no fun if you're just at one level. It's got to go up and down. It's got to have some height and different and elevation changes. Yeah, you gotta go all the way up before you hit that big drop and the caterpillar roller coaster is waiting for you. And by no means RoboQuest doesn't that's not necessarily an issue with RoboQuest. The flow and that roller coaster is handled fairly well. I just think Dead Zone handles it better. For that reason, I have awarded it on my custom Andrew scale because we all know that my co-hosts, they had a different one, but then they changed it. So mine's a little bit different. So you gotta, take it with a grain of salt. 7.86 Andrew points, putting it right behind World of Horror, putting it right ahead of Into the Breach, which I feel a little bit bad about. But again, my numbers are a mess, so no one can get mad at me or hold me responsible for anything. All right, great. What a fun time. Again, had a great time playing it. I wish I could give it a little bit higher a score, but just due to personal preference, it gets dropped a bit.
Similar games to RoboQuest. When I was first ideating this podcast of like, what games are we gonna cover? Like the concept of like a first person shooter rogue style game was like unthinkable. It was like basically unheard of at the time. And now like I have this like laundry list of like, man, I gotta cut some of these off, or I'm gonna be here all night talking through some of these. But we've done a number of rogue style shooters in the past, ranging from Returnal, which I guess is like the Dark Edgelord version of RoboQuest. We talked a lot about Dead Zone Rogue previous episode. We have not talked at all about vo our previous episode about Void Bastards, maybe with good reason, or Nightmare Reaper with good reason. But there are some other shooty shoot rogue games out there. And I guess, I don't know, maybe like first person hacky slash that also kind of fills a similar vein. I was playing and having actually a pretty decent time with some Crab Champions this week as well, just for comparison point purposes. That game is some wild nonsense, let me tell you. Witchfire, I'm gonna like try to lobby Andrew really hard at some point for him to check out,
Definitely.
but some others that were in contention for this one were Abyssus and Sulphur. But there's some others on the list here, like
Sulfur
more.
de definitely is on my list. I'm waiting for 1.0.
Well, you don't have to wait for 1.0 for Mortal Sin anymore. That has come out of 1.0. I don't remember if Voin, Voin, has come out of early access, but there's other games like Voidbreaker and Deadlink and Space Beast Terror Fright. And one that I thought was going to have more hype behind it, but is kind of like a first person FTL first person shooter type game called Jump Space, originally titled Jump Ship, but maybe they didn't want people jumping ship off their game. But yeah, so that's a halfway decent checkout list that it keeps growing every time that we cover a first person shooter game. Like, God, there's so many good ones to pick from of thrown people's way, but. In the meantime, if you want to throw your suggestions for what first-person shooter game we should check out next, you can send those to grogpodzone@gmail.com, our email. You can see all of the Seahawk posting that I was doing this weekend as my blood pressure was skyrocketing out of control on Mastodon, grogpod@gamedev.place, and grogpod.zone is the website where if you just it's too much to remember. I don't know where to go. Just go to the website, grogpod.zone. You don't have to remember anything else. Just go there. And so if Will was here, this is where he would have to defend his picking of his next game, which, like we talk a lot about what is or is not a roguelike or roguelike game. And in some cases it's good to kind of stretch and pull at that definition boundary and see where that gradation scale changes from black to white. And what does it mean for games to be these or that kind of thing? So, Will has picked for our next episode to cover Project Zomboid to once again live out his urban survival fantasies.
Fetish. Sorry, I shouldn't be goofing on our good
Whoops, sorry.
pal and good co-host. Indeed, I'm hey from my memory of this game, I'm with him for the argument that this is this counts. But I guess
I
we'll
mean,
find out.
we played Case of Cut. That was barely a roguelike game, and we gave it the game a year, so.
Yeah, I mean Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, there's all like sorts of things that are like, I mean, there are some games that I have planned to torture you with later this year as well, that while on the face on the box art might say traditional roguelike from the 1980s, I'm not so convinced. I don't know that making a traditional roguelike game from the 1980s 50 hours long is a good idea. But like maybe we'll play one tenth of that, and then we'll kind of revisit some of these opinions at the end of the year. But Project Zomboid is our pick for next week. I guess. I also should have mentioned where RoboQuest landed. It's our number 22 out of 88 games that we've covered. I feel like I should do that more often, especially when the game is performing better than average. At least with our initial first impression rankings. Maybe we'll see how those change throughout the year. And Colin will probably give it a zero, and that'll drop it down. But
I'll give it a B plus.
yeah, okay. It's definitely not screwing up the math on the back end. Anyway, 22 out of 88. That's a perfectly respectable landing spot for RoboQuest to drop down to that Marvel style hero pose and shoot out all of the energy waves. But yeah, Project Zomboid next week. We'll spend at least 30 minutes bickering about what a roguelike game is, if not in the YouTube comments. So, but playing us out from this episode here for RoboQuest will be the final track, finally, the final track for the final boss, the final metal hero.